We read here in the book of Acts how this death of Stephen released a powerful movement, first of persecution, Saul leading the way, putting people in jail and getting permission to go to Damascus and bring them. It's opposition. And at the same time, people coming to know the Lord and acknowledge Him. This rhythm. Then the burst of signs and wonders, proclaiming the greatness and the truth of Jesus. We don't see that very often. In Africa, very often, when the gospel is preached, hundreds of people are delivered. And they begin to scream, just exactly what Acts is talking about. And they're freed. Some begin to retch and so forth, but they're freed from the demons. All of this is set loose now through the death of Stephen. And so as we're reading the life of Christ in the church, you see we've reached another point now. It's beginning to spread. Remember our Lord said that the plan of the book of Acts is there. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. And so now the gospel is beginning to spread with the same effects that it always has. Life, freedom, joy, understanding of what life is all about, and persecution. And so we see this, see the church is the presence of Christ on earth. And so this is the history of the church. And if we look into our own hearts, we can see, understand, huh? Look at the ways we resist the gospel. Look at the ways we don't obey the truth, even though it's been given to us. Now, in this bread of life discourse, our Lord moves on. You see, he picks up from what he said yesterday. I am the bread of life. I am the very stuff of life. Real life. That goes on forever. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Then this mystery, everything that the Father gives me. See, the Father's plan is that he can gather the whole world to himself. So his Son has come and died and taken upon himself the weight of all our sins. And through him, the Father can draw us to himself. Because now the way is clear. So that's what our Lord is telling us, you see. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. And I will not, our translation has, reject anyone. The text actually says, I will not cast out anyone. Remember, one of the images in back of this whole discourse is the Garden of Eden. And Jesus is the tree of life in the middle of that garden. You eat of this and you live forever. That's the tree of life, isn't it? He is the tree of life. And he's called us back into this garden and he says there, I will not cast out anyone. If you look at the book of Genesis, the end of chapter 3, God cast them out. Now the garden is open again. And the tree of life is available for everyone to feed on. Jesus. Even down to having his body and his blood and his soul and his divinity to feed on physically. So that little by little, his divine life will take over all of who we are. I will not read, say, I will not cast out anyone, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. This is important because it shows us that Jesus has a human will. As he says at the, in the garden, not my will, but yours. There was a conflict, not a conflict, but a struggle. One of the great saints, another great theologian and mystic, Maximus the Confessor, says, watch these texts, because there you see that we are saved by the human decision of a divine person. That decision had to take place within humanity. But it had to be a divine person within humanity making that decision to do the will of the Father. And what is the will of the one who sent me? That I should not lose anything of what he gave me, that I should raise it on the last day. Now, my friends, with all our sins and all our stupidity, which is abounding, at least we ought to be able to say, the Father has given us to Jesus. Here we are. We believe in him. We hear his word. We receive his body and his blood. You see? This is the Father's plan. Draw us to himself, right? Through Jesus, his own eternal, co-equal, co-eternal Son. That's the plan. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him, there's two steps. See him and to yield to him. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we pray, so that we can see the Son, grasp him with the eyes of our spirit. See, and then believe in him, accept him, welcome him. It's another way John has of speaking of faith. One is, as we had again in this text today, come to me, will never hunger, believe in me, never thirst. Because coming to Jesus is faith. The other way of talking about this is welcome, receive. As many as received him, he gave power to become, and so forth. Receive it. Receive Jesus. Don't resist. Take Jesus as he is, with all the ways he's going to disrupt your, my little emotional, spiritual, mental patterns that are off. Let him come and give them life. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him, welcomes him, may have eternal life. It's so simple to yield to that work of the Father in us, and I will raise him up on the last day. Death is not the last word on all those who believe in me. It's not the last word. They will be radiant with their body for all eternity. What a promise. And we either, it sits in our mind like, yeah, that's, you know. But that's not the same as saying, the Son of God has promised that to me. I heard it right here in the text. By his divine providence, I was in the church and I heard this promise myself. Now I have to yield to him, welcome him, obey him.